Morning, everybody. It's amazing. Look at this gang here. See, we got Seafair going on. We got the, are the kids dismissed? Kids? And we got the kids dismissed. National Drag Championships are taking place. Ryan set the stage. He's talked to all of us old guys who are dying. And he's talked to all the young people who have to go back to school. Thanks, Rye. Really set the stage. Nice. Really encouraged this morning. You know, I hope you're taking some time in August to be with your family and your friends, because you need it. And it's good. And it's valuable. So take some time and do that. I want to talk about some things, how lives are influenced and stuff this morning. But I was thinking about Seafair. I don't know. Again, I'll be mentioning some things about how your family shapes your life. Well, my life was shaped around Seafair. I don't know how many of the older ones, I guess, had that happen to you, but man, one of the biggest days at our family was Seafair Sunday. We were either out on the log boom with our boat, or we were watching it on TV making big bets, like who's going to win, you know, the drawing. And Patty and I have tried to draw our kids into Seafair for years to do that. That hasn't worked a bit. Not a bit. No one's coming over today. Seafair, eh. But when I was a kid, man, it was like, you'd build a hydroplane out of wood, and you'd pull it behind your bike. And you'd race down the street pulling that thing. And if any of you don't know where the cards on the spokes with the paperclip or the clothespin came from, that was to make the sound of the roaring engines on your bike. Seafair. So there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. And so it's really kind of fun how our lives are shaped and how our lives are changed by different things. And I want to talk about that a little bit this morning, because this last week, actually it was like a month ago, I'm driving in the car and I was overwhelmed with this thought that I want to share with you, and I hope it's as meaningful to you as it is and as it was to me, because sometimes that just doesn't translate very well. But I was overwhelmed. I mean, I was overwhelmed, and I was excited about the thought of one of the things that we celebrate the most. Well, one of the things we celebrate a lot of wonderful things in Christianity, but one of the things we celebrate is the hands of Jesus, the nails through the hands that purchased our lives. And it's a wonderful thing. I mean, it's just, what a celebration. Redemption and salvation and sanctification all happened as those nails were put through the hands of Jesus. And I began to think about that. And I began to think that how huge it is. And I began to think about that I was so glad that nails weren't driven through the hands of a dictator. Right? That nails weren't driven through the hand of someone that wants to control you by force. Someone that is evil in their thinking about you and doesn't care for you a bit. The Hitlers, the Pol Pots, the Idi Amins, the Saddam Husseins of life. Dictators in your life killing you when your time's up, because they have no need of you. Aren't you glad that the nails weren't put in those hands? Aren't you glad that the nails weren't put in those hands? Oh, my word. Always living in a crisis. No light days. No fun days. always fearing and always afraid. Then I began to think about, aren't you glad that the nails weren't driven in the hands of a wealthy merchant? That your life was purchased. And I sad days in our history about slavery, but aren't you glad those nails weren't put through the hand of a rich man who purchased your life to own your life, to control your life? Perform the way I want you to perform, or I'll get rid of you and I'll buy someone else who will perform for me. Aren't you glad those nails were not in the hands of a wealthy merchant? Man, I am so thrilled. So thrilled. And of course, I went a little crazy. I thought, sure glad those nails didn't go through the hand of a fisherman. Sure glad I'm not caught in life. Sure glad that I'm not caught in the snares of life. Sure glad my destiny. Yeah, poor fish. Caught by a fisherman or by someone using a net. But destiny stopped. Purpose stopped. Snared. Aren't you glad you're not snared by your bitternesses and your resentments and your anger? Aren't you glad that your destiny is not stopped because nails were driven into the hand of a fisherman? Caught. How'd you like to be caught in your bad decisions? Wouldn't that be terrible? Because I make a lot of bad decisions. Why would you like to be caught in those bad decisions with no way out? With no way out. Oh, man, I thought, sure glad nails weren't driven in the hands of a surgeon, of a doctor who just loves his knife. And who just, what if every pain you had, every heartache you had, your only way was through the knife? The only way was for being operated on, caught in the hands of someone that said the only way for your broken heart to be fixed, the only way for your shame is to be cut out of your life. When your shame raises its ugly head, there's hope for you, but it's operation time. Man, kind of scary today with what's going on, boy. You're not thin enough. You're not educated enough. You're not wealthy enough. It's time for an operation. Let's have a facelift. That's what we need to make you who you are. Let's have a facelift, or let's lift something. Let's do something. Let's change you because you're not pretty enough. You're not good enough. Sure glad the nails were not put into the hands of a surgeon. Oh, man. How would your recovery time be? Days, weeks, months, years, only to be told, I can't fix your broken heart, or I can, but it's going to cost you. Oh, aren't you glad? Oh, and my heart began to become overwhelmed. Let's put those thoughts aside for a minute. Because now I just kind of just want to shift gears a little bit and talk about life. Life is strange. I don't know if you agree with that statement or not. But life is strange. Life comes and it goes. And I know young people know and they think that it doesn't go quickly, but it does. you blink and your vacation's over. You blink and your high school years are over. You blink and your marriage years are now producing kids. And you blink and you think you're never going to get out of that. And then all of a sudden, those years are over. And now it's you're faced with all of these life's decisions and faced with life. And it's very interesting to me how our lives are shaped. But it's really not a mystery. It's interesting, but I don't think it's a mystery. Your culture can shape your life. Your good decisions are your stupid decisions. I thought I'd at least get a smile out of that. I guess all you make good decisions all the time. your decisions, your friends can shape your life. Your family, your generational blessings, or your generational curses can shape your life. What nation you were born in can shape your life. You can be shaped through the influence of music. You can be shaped through the influence of books and art. You can be shaped through your education. You can be shaped through your schools. You can be shaped through universities. So how our lives are shaped, it's interesting. You can be shaped through the Bible. It's interesting, isn't it? It is. It's very interesting. And I think it's important for us to think about those things and to consider those things. But who shapes our lives, I think, goes beyond how our lives are shaped. Who shapes our lives? The Bible's very clear, and we can pay attention to it or not pay attention to it. But who shapes our lives? Like parents, like grandparents, like teachers, rabbi, priests, pastors, communities, neighborhoods. Again, friends. Friends can really shape our lives. Foster care can shape a life. Broken families, healthy families, good families, dysfunctional families, gangs. Nowadays, they say in the gangs there's more family value than there is because they're a fatherless generation. Gangs can shape lives. Daycares can shape lives. Mom staying at home can shape lives. I saw recently a lady got out of prison. She was out just a couple days. Went and did some bad things. The police came. She said, "What took you so long?" "I wanted to be arrested because I'm more comfortable in prison than I am at home." So she wanted to go back. Who shapes our lives? Yep, it's very clear that facts and truth and history says our lives are shaped mostly when we're young. Mostly when we're young. But as I get older, can my life be shaped? Can my life be fashioned? Or is it the first 5 years of my young life that is the majority of the effects on my life? When I said earlier to you, the nails represent our redemption, then remember whose hands those nails go into. Whose hands those nails penetrate. It is so key and it's so important. And I was overwhelmed because I realized those hands were carpenter's hands. Those hands, they were a master carpenter's hands. That really got me excited. I mean, I am driving along in my car, and all of a sudden, and I don't know if I've never thought about it, because, you know, usually it's the Lord, the King, the Savior, but a master carpenter. That's whose hands it was, a carpenter's hands. Oh, man. Not just any carpenter, okay? Not just any guy, but a master. He was so convinced that he wanted to show you and I what a good master carpenter he was. He wanted to show you that you could trust him. He wanted to show you that he has great abilities. He wanted to show you that he's skilled. He wanted to show you that he understands flavor and color and design and craftsmanship. So before you and I came into existence, he shapes the mountains and the hills and the valleys and the clouds and the heavens, the stars. He shapes the minerals, the gold and the precious stones, and he makes the cherry. The tomato. I'm trying to figure out what you might like. You know, I'm trying to figure out the pea, the grape. He makes all these wonderful things. And the scripture says, in fact, they're such beautiful pieces of art that one day man will be without an excuse. Because when you look at his creation, when you look at the beauty of his creation, when you look at the flowers and the trees and the birds and the bees and the insects and all of these things, you have to say that was created by love. That was made through a master carpenter. That was designed and made with brilliance in mind. Man will be without excuse. When the eagle soars, we go, wow, 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 wow. And then he stops and this master carpenter stops, and in just 9 months in mommy's womb, he designs. Oh, it's one of the things that led me to the Lord. I would look at my hands, and I'd look at my body, my eyes. Eyes. If you don't think the eyes is a designed piece of art, take a look. Your heart, the way it pulsates, and the way you're made, your body, your soul, your emotions, your spirit, all these things are made and shaped and fashioned by a carpenter who's really good at it, who's really, really, really good at it. Beautiful. You were made so beautiful in your mother's womb. And because of these nails in his hands. He now has become my master carpenter. So I asked earlier, I know that we are told that you change most up until you're 5 and 6 years old. But I'm telling you what, I think I changed most at 24. I do. Because my culture, my friends taught me to smoke and chew and be a perv, have sexual problems. My culture, my friends, my nation taught me to hate authority and rebel and yada, yada, yada. I actually think I changed most when I realized that those nails through the hands of a master carpenter set me free. Set me free. And I could feel his hands on me. I could feel his hands in my spirit, and I had a foul mouth, and it was gone. I had all kinds of things, and they're gone. And I didn't know what happened to me, because I wasn't raised in church. And I had no idea about, but people would say, you are so different. And I'd say, I know. And they'd say, how? And I actually said, I don't know. I asked God into my life, but I don't know what happened to me. And then I found out. I found out. I looked at the Bible. The Bible was wonderful. And as I looked at the Bible, it was a piece of literature that began to change my life. I found the truth, and the truth set me free, and I discovered I'm a new creature. The old is gone because a master carpenter took the rights of my life over. Are you kidding me? I don't know. I think I changed the most under the hands of grace. I do. I think I can change the most under the hands of what Ryan said, the power of his love. I think I changed the most under the power of his love because maybe I didn't all have that much power of love when I was raised by my mom and dad. But when the carpenter's love, listen, you can be really thankful that I'm not building your life. I'm not afraid to do anything, but you wouldn't want to live in the house that Tom built. You know that old saying, you know, you measure twice and cut once? Not me. My carpentry skills are, whoops, dang, oh no. My favorite tool is caulk. I mean, it's really bad. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I'll try it all, but I really shouldn't. I really shouldn't do it. But with God, nothing is impossible. It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter whether you've got burls or knots or rot in you. It just doesn't matter, because he's able to look at your life and to see it whole and complete and beautiful. Nothing is too difficult. Nothing is too difficult. Patty and I have had the thrill. My son-in-law, Matt Herrera, worked for a company a couple of years ago, and he was the head foreman. And this outfit, this construction company, well, the house we looked at, a couple house, I get to go through the houses he finishes. And when was a 10,000 square foot, $22 million home? And the last one was a $14 million home. And so Patty and I get to walk through these homes when he's finished with them. And I am telling you, they are so beautiful. From the rock work, from the painting, from the inlay. Matt was showing me that he put up all this crown molding, and it's clear wood. Crown molding, 1 foot, $12 a foot. Miles of it, 10,000 square foot home. Beautiful, just beautiful work. And we would walk around just, and obviously gawk at how beautiful these master craftsmen were. And how these master craftsmen, doesn't matter where they were, what they were working with, whether it was stone or wood or foundation or what, they're just beautiful work. Beautiful work. It's awe-inspiring. And that's your life. That is your life. That is who you are. It's so true that God, listen. Young people, right? Worked with young people a lot. You know what they're worried about? They're worried about the design of their life. Who am I going to marry? Where am I going to live? How much money am I going to have when you get older? It's who's going to be my doctor? And, you know, the design of your life. And yet the Bible is very clear. I'm not to fret. I'm not to worry. I'm not even to be anxious about the design of my life. Why can it say that? It can say that because the master carpenter knows the material that you came from, knows how to work the material of the soil of your heart, knows how to make you beautiful. Now, I'm not even going to talk about how we have to respond to him, right? Because you got to be dead. You got to be a dead piece of wood. You got to be cut down, but that's a different subject. I was up in Canada about a month and a half ago fishing, and this guy says, I got to show you something, and he takes us into the wood, and it's the world's largest spruce tree, and I'm telling you what, it was 28 feet around. And it went up with no branches, so no knots, so clear spruce for 200 feet. They say it could have built 40 homes. And I looked up at this thing thinking, wow. And I look at you and I go, wow. What can God do with your life? What can he design? What can he make from a fallen tree? What can he make from your fallen mistakes? What can he make from fallen sin? What can he do? The hands in a master carpenter. Oh, I'm telling you, it's a beautiful thought, isn't it? You don't have to worry about you don't have to worry about your tomorrow because we sang about it, his love. Listen. What do you think God thinks about? Do you think he thinks about the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees? No, he doesn't. He doesn't think about those things anymore. Those are on display. He's consumed with your life. Isn't that cool? I mean, what are you consumed with? I mean, hallelujah if we think about God a couple times a week. Are you with me? but he's consumed about you. You're all he thinks about because he has a picture of you. I think that's what I love about craftsmen, so neat. I look at a rock or a piece of wood or a piece of metal, and I have no clue what to do with it. No clue. I mean, I do not know how to design that piece. Now, I'm really, I was going to say metal, but what kind of metal? What's a blue angel made out of? Thank you. Oh, good. I have no idea how to pick up a piece of aluminum and make it into a blue angel. Airplane? I don't have any idea how to do that. I don't have any idea to take your shame and turn it into something beautiful. I can't see the beginning, the end from the beginning. I can't picture it because I'm not a master carpenter guy. But isn't it exciting that there is one who owns you that is? He's careful with your life. You're unique. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? There's no two of us alike. That is amazing artwork, folks. That's amazing artwork. And that you're so unique and you're so special to him. And I guess he did that with snowflakes, right? Wanted to show us there's no two snowflakes alike. But he makes you beautiful because you're unique. I know the cutting and the sanding and the filing might be a little uncomfortable. Oh, man. You know, what are you doing with my life? You know, and I know we can get out of sorts. And, I know. But listen, he's careful with your life. He is. He's careful. Now, as I'm saying these things, my heart is urging you to respond. Because I have had some wood and some metals and some plastics that don't respond to me. You know what I mean? And they usually get hit with a hammer. Or I check them out. Now, girls, you have no idea what I'm talking about because you've never had a burnt offering. Your food has always been delicious, always perfect. Your cakes and pies have always worked out. You know what it's like, moms. You know what it's like, girls. You know what it's like. You try to make this beautiful meal or this beautiful thing or this beautiful arrangement or this beautiful sewing something up. And then it's like, I used to love Patty and all of her burnt offerings she gave me early in our marriage. We would sacrifice at them. Oh, this is good, honey. Ooh! And the kids would look at me, Dad, do I have to eat that? No, just put it in your milk. Sneak it in your milk. You know what I mean? So, all you artsy women, yeah, you put way too much salt in that one, baby. Patty, she's such a sweetie. She's been on this health kick for years, you know. I'm going to tell you, honey, I love you, but I'm going to rat on you. Patty reads recipes 3/4 of the way through. And these are stuff like healthy stuff, you know, so you hope they taste good. Most of the time they don't, you know. And so she gets 7/8 of the way through the recipe, and then this thought comes, what if I add this? And she just drops it in. And in her mind, it's so good, and it's just, she's stirring it up, and then she's baking it. If she remembers about the timing on the oven, that's awesome. When it comes out of the oven or out, it's like, honey, try this. This is so good. I got this off the internet. And I say, honey, did someone really come up with that recipe? And she says, well, I added a little bit of my own to it. I don't care if God adds a little bit of his own to it to me. I don't care. Because he knows. Have you ever resisted God and then realized, I should have never resisted him? I should have responded to him. Because he knows what to put in the recipe of your life. He knows how to make you flavorful. In fact, you're on such display, your kindness and your gentleness and your patience and your forgiving and your promptness. Ooh. And your loyalty, your faithfulness, did I say that? Your generosity, it's on display. It's on display. Just like the animal kingdom is on display. Well, God says your life is on display. In fact, he says your life has been meant to glorify the what? The master carpenter. That's why I wish Christians would look and act different. Are you with me? I mean, our lives are on display. We should be different than our neighbors. We should not be gossiping. We should not be. People should look at you and I and say, wait a minute. You see, I'll go about it a different way. Your testimony is so valuable to family, friends, and to this church. Because when you share your testimony, it's like, I never would have realized you came from such muck and mire. I never would have realized that about your life, that you were like that. Who made you so wonderful? Who made you so sparkling? Who made you so gentle? Who made you so kind? Who made you so patient? And you can say, it wasn't me. Oh, no. It was not me. It was the master carpenter in my life. Our lives are supposed to be on display. That he might be what? Glorified. That he might be glorified. Oh, it's so important. People want and need to stop and gawk at you. They need to be saying, where are you from? And don't say Generational Hope Christian Center, please. You need to say, I'm from a different kingdom. In fact, I'm an ambassador from heaven. Because they're in need of a master carpenter. They need to be pointed in the direction of someone that they can turn their lives over. He makes you beautiful. Ephesians says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are the creation, I said it earlier, that he is most proud of. Jesus is not my dictator. Forcing me. He's not my dictator. Forcing me to obey him. He's not. He's a gentleman. Jesus is not my fisherman. Trying to snare me in my destiny and my purpose, catch me and hold me and gut me. I just threw that in. He's not the fisherman in my life. Jesus is not the rich guy trying to buy me, to own me, to force me, to make me. He's not that. And he certainly isn't the mad doctor that is thrilled to death that I got cancer and I get to suffer a while with it. He's not that at all. He's my master carpenter. He's my master carpenter. Oh, he obviously knows what's going to happen in the 21st century. Aren't you glad? that he knows what's going to happen with this ridiculous election? Aren't you glad that you're far more important than what your job tells you, or what your history tells you, or even what your anxiety tells you about your future? Aren't you glad that in the midst of all the questions we have on who influences me the most, on how I'm influenced the most, on who shapes me and how I'm shaped, aren't you glad that you and I can turn our lives over to the master carpenter who knows, the Alpha and the beginning, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, whose love is undescribable for you. His love is undescribable for you. Mom loves you and Dad loves you. Maybe your brothers and sisters love you. I don't know. But he loves you. So as I close, listen, I had a moment in my truck where, because I was so overwhelmed with just what I shared with you, I'm just driving along and I got one eye opened because I have to drive, right? And I just began to place my life back into the carpenter's hands, because it's a sweet thought. Are you impressed with my thought? I was impressed with it. I was overwhelmed with it. Maybe because I never thought about him as a carpenter. I don't know. But I was pretty excited. And I found myself, I don't know how long I've served the Lord, 45 years. I was pretty excited to turn my life back over to a master carpenter. Because you know what? I don't even have next month.